Welcome to episode 615 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Anna, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Sandy, and Donna. If Japan has been on your bucket list, the ancient temples, the bustling city streets, the cherry blossoms, the food, then this episode is going to move that trip from someday to I'm booking this. Elizabeth, along with her colleague, Leah, put together an amazing trip you will want to join in on. We're talking about a 15-day Azamara voyage that visits 13 ports across Japan, plus South Korea from Tokyo to Kobe in April of 2027, which happens to be cherry blossom season in northern Japan. And if that's not enough, they are also building out an optional two-night Tokyo pre-cruise extension for people who really want to sink their teeth into the city before they even step on the ship. She's co-leading this trip with Leah of Trova Travel. That's a mouthful.
Say that 50 times
fast. Right? So there will be two expert sets of eyes on every single detail. Spots are genuinely limited, and this one is filling up. So whether you're a first-time Japan traveler or you've been before and want to go deeper, stick around. Elizabeth is going to walk us through exactly what to expect. So let's get started. That was a mouthful. Do we have anything else to talk about now?
I want to go.
Right? This is impressive. 13 ports. Like, yes. This is port heavy. This is fantastic.
Yes. And so we've talked about Azamara before, but I think it bears mentioning that this is not a cruise in the sense of, you know, I'm going on a Caribbean cruise and I'm going to have water slides and rock climbing walls and all that. We love those cruises. Those cruises are great, but this is really truly more of a floating hotel. It is a smaller ship, an older ship. None of those like bells and whistles, no water slides. There is a pool, no water slides, no kids club, nothing like that. It is definitely geared to being a floating boutique hotel. It's a way to see us a lot without having to unpack a lot.
Right. Well, and that's the point of a sailing like this, is you're there for the destination. You're not there for the ship per se. You're
correct.
There for these amazing ports that we're stopping into. So, yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. And I think that that's another thing that people think, oh, well, I want, when I go to Japan, I want to do a land tour because I want to do the bullet train and I want to, you know, there are these things that they feel like they need to do, climb up Mount Fuji or whatever. Yes, those are great things to do, but you can actually take a bullet train on this itinerary. Like you can make that happen. So if that's something that's really important to you, that's great. But then there's the fact that many hotels and accommodations in Japan are much smaller. And so for a larger person like myself, that could be very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And Japan is actually very big. And so a lot of people, you know, we sort of joke about Rome, Florence, Venice. In Japan, it's kind of Tokyo and Kyoto, and then maybe you can get to one more place, usually mm-hmm. Osaka.
Yeah.
So this allows you to see so much more and go way north in Japan as mm-hmm. well, which also means the cherry blossom season is happening a little bit later there, so you don't have to go in the prime busy season for the southern part of Tokyo.
Right.
Of Japan,
Yeah. Plus, you're not hotel hopping hotel to hotel.
Right.
You know, you unpack that one time and you get to see lots of amazing places. So that's, I think that's really, really a bonus. That's really top of my list. Cause I like to see different places. I love a good land tour, but the constant living out of a suitcase can.
This looks like a perfect way to see Japan. Cause you get to see so much. I'm looking at all your ports. There's like, it is truly intensive. Yeah.
It really is. Nice. So let's just start from the beginning.
All right.
Are you going to Disney?
Okay, so yes, I am going to Disney, and I do think we have some people going before going to Disney. So basically, my plan, and Leah as well, is to fly in. And if you've ever met Leah, and everybody in this recording has met her, mm-hmm. she is like she is the yin to my yang. I am sort of introverted and a little bit more quiet, shall we say. And Leah knows how to party. So between the two of us, we'll have everything covered. So we are going to Disney for a couple of days before the pre-cruise extension that we're planning starts. And the more we talk to people who have already booked, the more we're finding are going with us to Disney. So we're still working that out. But the idea is that you, if you want to do the pre-cruise with us in Tokyo, you would arrive 3 days before we get on the ship. And that day we might have like a dinner or something. And then we'll have 2 full days of activities, a little bit of sightseeing in Tokyo. And I say full days, but everybody knows I'm kind of easygoing. We're not going to plan out every second of the day. Then we'll board the ship. So we are putting that extension together in the next few weeks, and it should be up on it should be added to the website once we get that done. But we already have quite a few people interested in it, so we're definitely going to do it.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. And you've not been, this is all new to you, right?
This is all new to me. And actually, I can't remember if Leah has been or not, but if she has been, it's been a while. So.
Okay.
Yeah. All new.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, some of these, I can't pronounce them, but a lot of these ports, I'm not super familiar with.
Yep. And some of them, you probably don't know the name of the port, but you know, like you've seen pictures of the location. So okay. On day two, and again, I don't know how to say this one. I think it's Irai, but it's where sounds the Torii gate that you've seen pictures of it. The Torii gate that's in the water. That's where that is. Yeah.
Like
and
Epcot.
Then a huge, go ahead.
I said like Epcot.
Yeah, just like Epcot. Just like that.
Well, you've been to Epcot, so clearly you've been to Japan.
Right.
You're good.
Exactly. And there's a big aquarium here, and it's an excellent place for seafood. Not that any place in Japan is a bad place for seafood, but this is definitely, I mean, you can eat it practically right out of the boat. So, yeah. Very, very excited about that one.
You're going to have such good sushi on this trip.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
My daughter would be so jealous. She's obsessed with the sushi.
Love sushi.
That's awesome. Okay, so that's day two. Now, with Asamara, do they include excursions or is that an...
No.
That's not totally one that I couldn't remember off the top of my head for some reason.
Yeah, and okay. And Leah and I will probably do a couple of like optional group excursions if you want to go with us. Yeah. But we also, like, she and I are very different when it comes to touring. And so we don't, you know, neither one of us wants to dictate what people are doing. That you are free to do what you wish. And we can help you find if there's something you want to do that's, you know, not something that Asamara offers, we can help you figure that out too. For example, if you want to take a bullet train somewhere one of the days, we can help you with that. So.
Okay. Sweet. All right, so then the next one is, now that's where you go to see that's where you'll see the cherry blossoms.
Yes. Iomori, I think.
Iomori.
Yeah. Sounds when good. I come back, I'll be able to say all of these.
We expect to hear some Japanese.
Yeah, my apologies to anyone listening to the podcast who's like, I don't want to listen anymore because these people don't know what they're talking about. That's why we travel, because this is how we learn.
Yep.
So this is a place where cherry blossoms should still be showing. And again, extraordinary seafood, including the very famous Oma tuna. So more seafood, more sushi. Very excited.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm having for dinner tonight.
I'm kind of thinking the same thing, actually, now that we've been talking about it.
Yeah. Oh, but I was saying there's like this cool, I'm not even going to try to say it, but a festival lantern museum where you can see the famous illuminated samurai floats. That sounds really cool.
Yep.
That's really neat.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. And then Sakata is the next day, which is very known for sake breweries. I'm sure that you can find me, you can tell that I am a foodie and this, you know, I'm going to Japan to eat. But this is also a good example of one of those places that most people, you know, if you want to be able to brag to your friends when you get back from your vacation about all the cool places you went that they've never heard of, this is going to be one of them. So,
for sure. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Very cool. And then Toyama,
I believe that one. Yeah, I think that is correct.
Yes, this one's known for its sushi. Oh my god!
Yeah, this one's actually known for its sushi, and you can see the Japanese Alps. So we get that, you know, the mountain views
while you eat your sushi.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Like, again, and this is only day six. We're only about halfway through the trip, and I've already eaten my body weight in sushi probably twice over.
It's good for you, though. Yeah.
Treasure box. What is a treasure box of seafood?
It's a way to describe that bay, because that bay has a lot of fishes in it. Yeah,
okay. So, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Clearly, I don't know a whole lot about this, so excellent. Okay.
So the next day is Maizuru and Izuru, and I do want to say that this is important because some people may look at the itinerary and think, "Oh, you're not going to Kyoto," which is one of those, you know, Rome, Florence, Venice kind of big cities that you want to see, and is very known for the temples that are there. So this is basically the port that gets you to Kyoto. So kind of like when you go to Rome on a ship, you don't actually dock in Rome. You can't. You're outside of the city. And Civitavecchia, that's what this is as well. So you can get into Kyoto from here.
Okay. Now, would that be a day excursion, like kind of like with Rome? I mean, you could.
Is yes, I mean,
to go into Kyoto for the day if you.
Yes, exactly.
Do that?
Okay. Yes, and that's my plan, and there are excursions offered by the cruise line that you can also get to the Geisha district, which is very famous here as well. So tea ceremonies, the temples, all of that stuff. It's only one day, and you know you can't see all of Kyoto in one day, just like you can't see Tokyo in all of one day.
Right.
But we can circle back to that, because if you want to spend more time in Kyoto, there is a way to do that. So we'll talk about that later.
Stay tuned. More to come on that. Okay. So how do you pronounce this next one?
No idea. Sakai Manasa.
I'm so happy that you're hosting this, Anna.
Yeah. Again, I will be able to pronounce all of these when I get back. And hey, guess what? Seafood. So obviously we're on a ship, so we're going along the coastline. So if you like seafood, this is going to be the trip for you. If you don't like seafood, you can eat on the ship. They will have other options.
They'll have like ramen and stuff.
I personally, I couldn't do all the seafood.
Oh my god,
I
most definitely could.
I could eat it every single day.
Oldest child would eat all of this. Like, he would be in heaven. I can't.
But
in theory, it sounds like it would be good.
There are other options. I mean, there's ramen, and you could eat other things, but I will say that these trips are much better if you at least can tolerate seafood, or if you're willing to try it. And then the next day we go to Busan, South Korea. So this is sort of a nice, I always like when I can dip my toe in, you know, another country when I'm in one country. So, so this gives us a chance to hit on South Korea. And there are all kinds of activities here, from like K-pop kind of focused things to more food and temples and
makeup, skincare.
Yes, skincare. Yes, absolutely.
Hot springs. Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yep. And there are hot springs all over Japan as well, it being on, you know, on that whole circle of fire thing. But, so it could be a very relaxing day for sure.
Okay.
Now, you know how to say this next one, right?
Nagasaki.
Yes. See, that's a famous one. So obviously there is a lot of historical significance to this. So it is a chance to remember and to reflect. And it also is just it's a big sort of thriving city as well. So
okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah. I know the next one. Hiroshima. Yeah. I got that.
Or Hiroshima.
Is it Hiroshima? Is it really?
Yes, it really is.
I said it wrong.
I mean, I don't know Hiroshima. One. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's how I've always heard it. Yeah. Just.
Yeah.
So
another chance to sort of reflect and experience history, not experience it, but witness it. And then there's some inland sea cruising as well. So some of the beautiful, you know, Sandy and I just got back from Norway and cruising the fjords there. It's this, you know, similar sort of experience here.
Okay. All right. And then we've got two left. Wow. I'm tired.
You want to try it?
Takamatsu?
I think that is correct. Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah.
Sound, we'll go with that.
Yeah. And this is the home of udon noodles. So Here you might be able to eat.
I do love some udon noodles. I do love udon. I got that.
Yeah. Yep.
I can do that.
Again, we've eaten our way all the way around. So we're starting in Tokyo, going north, and then around the west coast, and then back around the bottom of the big island there. And then, because Japan has several islands. And then we end up in Kobe, right? So most Americans have heard of Kobe beef or Kobe beef, depending on how you say it. It is also a bullet train ride away from Kyoto. So you could, when you disembark in Kobe, if you wanted to stay a little bit longer and spend more time in Kyoto, you could take the bullet train to Kyoto, spend a couple nights, and then fly out. And we can help you organize that as well. Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool.
That's a good idea.
That's a really good idea. That seems pretty easy too.
Wow.
Exactly. The main thing is, how much vacation time do you have? Because this is already, the cruise itself is 14 nights.
Right.
And then you've got 2 days of pre in Tokyo. And even if you don't want to go to Disney, which, by the way, why wouldn't you want to go to Disney? But even if you don't want to, if you only have a couple of days, you want to spend a little bit more time in Tokyo. So I think most people are going to opt for that that extension if they can do it in Tokyo. But
And I've learned myself, I need a day to decompress when I've traveled that far.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Yes. Yeah. I might need.
Well, so that's also, our plan is that if you're only doing the two night, you would come in the day before so that you would then join us for the 2 days. So you would come in, rest, and then the next day start touring. And we're doing the same thing for Disney. We're coming in and going to the hotel, resting, and then we'll do 2 days at the.
Do you have your flights yet?
Nope.
For this?
I was just looking at it today, but I don't have them yet.
Can you tell me from the East Coast of the U.S., are you flying obviously you're flying westward, but what is your flight time looking like? Do you know?
I feel like combined it's in the 17 to 22 hours, depending on what you do. I mean, that includes layover time. Right?
Yeah.
So I think what I was looking at on United went through San Francisco, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then I got pulled away from it. And so I didn't finish looking at it, but.
I can't believe you're not looking at Delta.
I am looking at Delta, but Delta was a little bit more expensive. So I'm looking at both.
Well, I can tell you from I'm doing Singapore and Korea, and it's like 26, 28 hours total.
How are you doing it? Are you on Cathay or what are you?
No, going from here to Detroit to Incheon to Bangkok. And then on the way back, it's Chiang Mai to Bangkok to Incheon to Salt Lake City to home.
Okay. Is that Delta?
It is actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's a long flight, so I need to upgrade my seat somewhat. So I got to figure out the best way to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've kind of gone over the itinerary. Let's talk a little bit about the ship, like maybe, you know, what's included, with Osmara, with, you know, what we've put together, what you've put together, you and Leah have put together, and kind of touch on that a little bit about the inclusions and all that.
So Leah and I both have set aside some group space. So we have a variety of cabin types available, but mostly balconies and up. And the reason for that is this is an older ship. We call it an R-class ship. It's a it was designed back in the days where cruise ships became famous for having small cabins. And although it's been renovated, some of the like ocean view type and inside staterooms are very, very small. The bathrooms are also kind of small. So sort of setting expectations, again, this is, you're doing this to have a convenient way to get around. It's well appointed. The bartenders are excellent. I can vouch for that. The food is very good as well. There's no casino on board. And then the entertainment is actually, it's kind of interesting what Azamara does. They have, entertainers that do your standard sort of cabaret type shows. And usually the cruise manager is an entertainer and sings, or dances or both, you know, but they are usually an entertainer of some, so they sort of serve a double duty for that. Yeah. And you know, you're not going to be dazzled by Broadway shows or anything, but the entertainment is actually quite good. I enjoy it very much. You will find that they do things like bingo and, you know, some of those things you might normally experience on a cruise ship, but it's much more low key. There is one, you asked about included excursions. There is one included excursion on every Azamara cruise, and they call it, drum roll please, the Azamazing Evening. A little play on words there. But it's basically a private cultural experience that is curated just for the ship's guests. So there won't be anybody else there. And on longer cruises like this one, they do it off the ship. Some on shorter cruises, they bring that entertainment onto the ship. And I actually was not able to confirm for sure what it's going to be for this cruise, but it is probably something either related to tea ceremony or ceremonial dancing or, you know, that sort of thing. And it's around the middle of the itinerary.
Okay, that's cool. That sounds really fun. Nice. Let's see.
So I'll talk a little bit about the group, because some people might be saying, well, this sounds great, but I don't really want to hang out with a bunch of people that I've never met before. First of all, we're fabulous. Second of all,
we're so much fun.
Second of all, you don't have to hang out with us. So booking into this group doesn't mean that you are now part of a unit and you're going to take a big motor coach everywhere together. It's not really group travel in that sense. It just means that you're going to be in a group of people that we like to travel with, some of whom we've traveled with before, some are new to our groups. Basically you have sort of a mini community that you can take part in or not. You can eat on your own every single night, or you can join us at dinner. There are going to be times where you won't be able to find me because I'll have to go hide in my hidey hole and read and, you know, and unwind. So it really is still your trip. We just are giving you some options of activities and things pre-planned and curated by us as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it.
How do we book this? That
literally was what I was about to say. So if we want to book, what do we do?
it is on the website, and I will do everything I can to make sure that the link for the website is in the show notes. Basically, you can go there and you can actually sign up directly from that link. There are cabins other than the ones that we have in our group. So if you want to talk to us about, you know, if you like one of the cabin types that you see, you can just go ahead and say, that's what I want, and we'll book you in one of those. But we can also talk to you about upgrading to suites, the Club Continent suites or anything like that. The cruise does include beer, wine, and spirits throughout the voyage. You can upgrade to higher shelf spirits if you're like me and have a delicate constitution and therefore have to, have to drink the top shelf stuff. There is unlimited self-service laundry, but if you're in a Veranda Plus, you get complimentary laundry service, I believe twice on the cruise, but at least once. Mm-hmm. But they are also, there's a laundrette, so you can just do that on your own if you want. Gratuities are included. And then if there's a need to shuttle between, say, a port community and an activity, then that's included as well. Okay. Flights are not included. So those are available to book now, and we can help you with that. Or you can do, if you have miles or anything like that, you can do that. Travel insurance is not included in the base price, but we will quote it for you for sure. And we only have a few cabins remaining. But again, we can also pull in other cabins at the going rate. So we have special price cabins in Ocean View, Veranda, and Veranda Plus. Mm-hmm. I did put the price in the show notes, but I'm not going to put them out there because I want you to come to the website. But just know that for two people, it's less than $16,000 for the cruise. So when you consider that it's a 15-night cruise, and it can be much less, that's for a Veranda Plus. When you consider that it's 15 nights, that's, you know, like $1,000 a night. And that includes all your food, all your beverage, and mm-hmm. your accommodations and everything. So, and that is for two people. So
that's really not bad.
It's really good pricing.
It really is pretty good pricing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And Leah has sailed on Azamara more than I have. I've done a couple of cruises with Azamara, but we both really love the product. It's small enough that you can sort of get to know everyone, but it's big enough that you don't, you know, you have some amenities that you don't feel like you're eating in the same place every night. Right. There are a couple of onboard specialty restaurants as well as the normal dining room. Mm-hmm. And honestly, Azamara has some of the best escargot I've ever had, which I know Anna would not. Not one, but for the rest of us who actually like good food.
Hey, I like good food. I just don't like snails.
Yes.
But I did try them. I did. You know what? I was one of those people that I did try it.
Okay. Elizabeth, did you spit it out?
I don't remember if I spit it out or not.
No, you ate it, but yeah.
That was like back in 2018. I don't remember exactly what I did once.
You might have overthought it a little bit too. You shouldn't do that. So, yeah. And I would say that just keep in mind that this is not going to be a relaxing on the beach kind of vacation. It's it is a go, go, go kind of vacation, but there are slower paced options and more active options. So you absolutely, we can cater it to you. And there is the ability to go as a solo traveler too. Okay. It'll be a little bit more expensive than, per person, I should say. It probably won't cost you more than $16,000, but there are compromises you might have to make in the cost, but
right.
that you would have a room all to yourself. So.
What about mobility issues? Is that probably?
I would say that, you know, certainly some mild mobility issues would be okay, but this is going to be a lot of stops and you don't really want to just watch it from the deck of the ship. So I would say that, we can talk about whatever accommodations you might need to see if it's right for you.
Okay.
We definitely have people going who are not quite as spry as others. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a fair question, but it's something that we should discuss one-on-one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And kids, maybe older kids.
If your kids want to go to Japan and can handle, something like this, it's very Japan intensive and not the, kawaii, toilet museum.
Right.
Anime. Yeah,
you can absolutely enjoy some anime and that sort of thing, but it's not going to be, really focused on that.
Right. Okay. Good to know. Anything else we need to add before we send everybody to the website?
It's a lot. I've been talking a lot.
You have been talking a lot. Just want to make sure there was nothing else we needed to add.
Yeah. And just in case the link doesn't make it into the show notes, it's outlandertravel.com. And then up at the top, go to hosted groups and scroll down and you can look at all of our hosted groups. Mm-hmm. But the Japan, and they're in chronological order. So this is the departure date listed as April 22nd. That's what day we set sail. So obviously you would need to go over earlier.
A little bit
that.
Before that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, Donna, Sandy, and myself, Anna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.